putting it on, Joe. Don't worry about a thing. It's good to be in the house of God. Tonight, we're going to finish up with the teaching about the temporary gifts. And I think there's something that's often overlooked when you study 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And that is what's right in between them. Perhaps one of the most important chapters, along with chapter 15, in the book of 1 Corinthians. You know, Corinthians, a lot of what he's doing is he's correcting the schisms, the problems, the issues that the church had. And they were actually, the church at Corinth was really a mess. I mean, they were taking real pride and they were developing an arrogancy about these spiritual gifts. And Paul gives us regulations, how the gifts are to be regulated, how they're to be carried out. But in chapter 13, the testimony of the Apostle Paul is, he's telling the church and he's telling us that the single most important grace is that of charity, which is, in the Greek language, the word agape is the highest form of love that can be expressed. And so chapter 13 is the charity chapter, the love chapter. And I just always thought it was so powerful that God the Holy Spirit put this passage of Scripture right in between all of the temporary gifts and how they're to be regulated, because Paul is emphasizing the point that faith, hope, and love are things that will never pass away, as contrasted with the temporary gifts. So Paul is revealing in chapter 13 the importance of love and its superiority over the spiritual gifts. In proving the superiority of love, he states some interesting truths concerning the temporary nature of those miraculous gifts. Before we get into that, let's just read 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If he had the ability to speak in every language, in every tongue, even the tongue of angels. What is the tongue of angels? Well, it's probably either Hebrew or Greek. That's what the Bible's written in. I don't know. There may be some angelic language that we don't know about, but they spoke directly to Mary and to Joseph, so they understood them in the Hebrew language. But Paul said, if I don't have charity, if I don't have this agape love, I'm just noise. That's all I am. Unprofitable, unharmonious noise. In verse 2, he addresses the gift of prophecy. And though I have the gift of prophecy, if I can declare prophetic truth, speak it, and understand all mysteries, if I have the gifts of discernment, the gifts of words of knowledge and understanding, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Though I have all faith, supernatural faith, healing faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He is rebuking the Corinthians for placing the emphasis on the wrong things. It's love that I want you to understand. That is the superior gift. Love to God. Love to man. Love in your family. Love to reaching out to sinners. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. All of these bodily things that express devotion in a lot of different kind of religions, he said, if I don't have charity, it profits me nothing. And then he gives you the characteristics of genuine agape love. Charity suffereth long, it's long-suffering, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Oh, there were people in the Corinthian church that were envious of one another. He said, true love doesn't envy. When you see someone being blessed, you're happy for them. You're not envious of them. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity doesn't declare, true love doesn't declare, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I'm the MVP, look at me. No, charity doesn't do that. Charity is humble. Charity is submissive. It doesn't puff itself up. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not ugly. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about the way you act, your attitude. Charity seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. True love's not selfish. You want to bless. You want to reach out. You want to be an encouragement to others. Is not easily provoked. Love has a way of tempering you. Real, genuine love. You're not so easily provoked by your brother or your sister or somebody that you work with or even Alan Staley. Maybe there's something, Alan may rub you the wrong way about something. I don't know where. But love is not easily provoked. Joe, you like that I've picked on somebody other than you. He's here in the second pew. How about that? But you know what? The pressure ain't off of you, brother. Okay? It goes on. Charity thinketh no evil. Well, what? How powerful when love doesn't think any evil of others, doesn't think of evil in wickedness. That's powerful, and that amount of agape love is dominating your life. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Doesn't rejoice in sin, rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. These are all qualities of agape love. That phrase, endureth all things, that's the essence of the perseverance of the saints. That we endure in love all the providential workings that God places into our lives, and we bear it, we endure it. Not as though it's a burden, but a recognition that God Almighty has ordered it. And we are submitting to Him. Charity never faileth. Now here's where he starts getting into the temporary. He's giving you a contrast between the temporary and the gift of love and hope and faith. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. What he's speaking of there was going to come a time It's not that the prophetic word will ever fail. Every prophecy that God has ever declared will come to fruition, because He'll have His will. He'll have His way. He works out His purpose. He's talking about the ability to prophesy the future. That was going to cease. That gift was going to fail. It was going to be done with. Whether there be tongues, the ability to speak in other languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It says right there to our charismatic and Pentecostal friends, the gift of tongues shall cease. In fact, you can read through the book of Acts, you can read through your New Testament, and you'll find that the older the history, the older the epistle that's written, the less you hear of the gift of tongues. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That special kind of knowledge, like Peter had when he knew that Ananias and Sapphira were lying. Nobody else knew it. They thought they were fine, upstanding church members. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now here a basic principle is announced. We're told that the incomplete will be done away with by the coming of that which is perfect. The incomplete revelation of verse 10, I believe, is clearly the miraculous gifts. In fact, he lists them in 8 and 9. Tongues are going to cease. Knowledge will vanish away. Prophecies. He said these are all passing gifts. That's incomplete revelation. We believe that the Bible is that which is perfect. When that which is perfect is come, when the canon of Scripture, the revelation of God, is completed, and that last word and revelation is affirmed, and Revelation says you're not to add to or take away the words of the prophecies of this book. When that's done, then that which was incomplete, those temporary gifts, will be done away. Now, verse 10 would obviously teach, if we believe that the Bible is perfect, that the completed New Testament canon would supersede and bring to an end the miraculous gifts. I mean, if people just used their head and looked at things biblically and rationally, logically, scripturally, you should be able to see through Benny Hinn and his claims of being able to miraculously heal people. You know, it's sad to think that there are that many people who are literally deceived. And I mean good people. I believe Christian people have been deceived by false prophets like Benny Hinn. And people that, I mean, some of those guys have actually, they claim that they've raised the dead. That they've given people a new physical heart. I mean, some of the things that they claim to have done are unbelievable. But people, for some reason, clamor for that in these last days. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, some have tried to avoid this logic. verse 10 would obviously teach that the completed New Testament would supersede and bring an end to the miraculous gift. Some have tried to avoid this logic by making that which is perfect refer to the coming of Christ. I don't believe that that interpretation is correct, and I'm going to give you the following reasons. Perfect is applied to a neuter object. It's hard to believe Paul would refer to Christ as a that. The context is not dealing with Christ's return. It's not dealing with that at all. But with the differing degrees of completeness in revelation. Partial revelation and spiritual gifts, verse 9. As opposed to complete revelation, God's Word, in verse 10. Scripture must be interpreted according to its context. And by the way, James 1:25, the Bible is spoken of as being perfect. James 1:25. Now, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here he's insinuating that miraculous gifts were for the infancy of the church. And then if you read on, he says in verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." He's talking about when the revelation is completed, we're going to see things more clearly. We won't need special words of knowledge because we'll have the Scripture to guide us. "Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Paul seems to compare the relative permanence of faith, hope, and charity to those miraculous gifts. Charity never fails, verse 8. It's a grace that we'll enjoy even in heaven during the ages to come. Faith and hope are abiding when compared to the miraculous gifts. Charity is still superior to faith and hope for both of those. You're not going to need faith anymore when Christ returns. But you'll always have love for Christ all through eternity. The miraculous gifts are clearly only temporary. They're not eternal like charity, neither will they continue till the return of Christ, as will faith and hope. Now, once the real purpose of the miraculous temporary gifts is understood, you ought to have no problem in understanding their temporary nature. There are in churches today no gifts that involve a direct revelation from God. Do you understand what I just said? There is no direct revelation coming from God. It's in the Word. So when a preacher gets up and says, "You know, God told me something last night," he probably just ate too much pizza. He got a bad case of indigestion. God does not speak audibly. He speaks through His Word, by His Spirit. Those who believe that these gifts are still in operation cannot say, "The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice." You can't say that. If you believe that there are preachers who are receiving, and men or women who are receiving direct revelations from God, new revelations, you can't say that the Bible is your only rule of faith and practice. And it's one of the reasons why Jim Jones was able to take a whole gaggle of people to Jonestown in in, where was that, Ghana? Is that where that was? Huh? Guyana, or was it Guyana or Ghana? Let's say it started with a G. I know that. I can tell you that. Listen, he was charismatic. He claimed to have all these spiritual gifts. And he was supposedly lifting people, helping people socially. And you know what? That ended in one of the most tragic ways. In fact, it's a horrific to think that a man, I believe he was demon-possessed. In fact, I think a lot of stuff that goes on today in the name of the Lord is demonic. And all those people died. We need to get back to the old black book, the Word of God. I don't believe the Bible's an open-ended revelation. True churches believe that the Bible is God's finished revelation and that Christ is His final Word who communicates the truth. He is our prophet, our priest, our king. And every truth that we believe that comes from the Bible really centers in Him and our relationship to Him. I hope that you know Christ. Without Him, you don't have any charity. You don't have any love. You don't have any acceptance with God. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You cannot live well and die well without Jesus Christ. I hope you know Him.
Jim Baxter, please, is Mrs.